How difficult is it to be a new person in sneakers? I'm going to get into that this time on Fire Footwear. Welcome back to Fire Footwear, everybody. As always, this is your host, Matt Freights, and I'm going to apologize out front. If you probably can't tell by the sound of my voice, I've developed a little bit of a cold. I'm a little bit pissed off about it, if I'm going to be honest, because I survived two bouts of the flu here in the Freights household, and I survived two flu outbreaks at the office that I work at. And so for me to then get a cold, I don't even know from where, after surviving all of that, definitely a little bit frustrating. But I hope this finds you well, as I always do, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Before we get into the episode, of course, I want to remind everybody, if you want to connect with me, Instagram at FireFootwearPod is the handle to do that. Would love to add more people to the group chat that we have. We just added some new members, so definitely looking forward to hearing from you. If you haven't checked out the YouTube channel, FireFootwear Sneakers Talk, like, subscribe, all of that good stuff, comment. It really helps the channel grow, and I'm looking to really take that channel to new heights. We are very, very close to the goals that we are trying to achieve. So if you haven't yet done that, I would definitely appreciate it. And of course, since you're listening to this, Apple, Spotify, wherever it is that you listen to your podcast, if you can subscribe, rate, review, all that stuff, helps the show to chart, helps me get known. And honestly, it just helps me make sure that we can continue to bring this fire content. So last week I talked about Nike basically trying to almost trick us into popping shoes because we couldn't get something that we actually wanted. And they're really trafficking in consolation prizes. This is an episode that kind of hit pretty well in terms of the analytics, but one of the things that it did was it had somebody reach out to me, and shout out to Braylon, and he reached out to let me know that he enjoyed the episode. He is not somebody who is embedded in sneaker culture, and so to listen to this, he learned something, and one thing he said really resonated, that the episode really bridged the gap between somebody like him, who's not in the know, and other people who are in the know, giving insider information without boring everybody. And it got me to thinking about being new in this culture. And this week, as I've been getting more and more sick, I've been thinking about my place in this culture, and more specifically, my place in sneaker content. And I thought, do I have a responsibility to help people, new people to this culture, the way that I was back in 2018? I've told my re-origin story before, how in 2018, I went to Flight Club in New York City. When I walked in, I was just amazed because there were so many shoes on the shelves, so many people in the store, and I fell in love because I realized that there was something for everybody. Now, I've always loved sneakers, I've always loved hats, things like that, but I really wasn't allowed to have them when I was a kid, and then I couldn't afford them when I was an adult, or at least a young adult. But I think about that day, and I think about the shoes that I brought home. One of them was the Jordan 312. It was the Just Don colorway, and it was after the Air Command Force, or at least that colorway from White Men Can't Jump. The other shoe that I brought home was a Nike SB Dunk High called the Lumberjack colorway. It's all denim, and it has that sort of gingham pattern in there, and it looks very much like a lumberjack. When I think back to it, I well overpaid for those shoes, because what I didn't know is that Flight Club was a consignment store. I had no idea. I had no idea that thing existed. So I started thinking about the culture, and I started thinking about the ins and outs of sneakers, and I started thinking about this podcast and the channel and everything, and I realized that I can do some good here. That there are a lot of elements to being in this game called sneakers that a lot of people don't know when they first discover it, or if there's somebody who has worn sneakers but never really been in the culture the way that it exists today, there's a lot of terminology, there's a lot of things that people need to know. And so I started writing it down. What are the things that people need to know? What are the elements of sneaker culture that people need to know in order to help them navigate? And I realized that it came down to two specific items. The first of which is the culture itself. And there are a lot of things embedded into that, and we'll get into that in a little bit. The other element of this is money. Because let's face it, sneakers can be a very expensive habit. When it comes to each of these, there are little subgenres within each, and I think that they're very important to get into. But I'm not going to get into them in detail. I just want to kind of talk through them, because at the end of this episode, what I hope is that you listening can help me out with some other items that maybe I have missed about sneakers and what it's like to be new. So if you are new to this culture, or you are just new in general to sneakers and you found this podcast, first of all, welcome. Let me know how I can help. Let's start with talking about money, though, because this is the most important thing. This is something that I generally tend to get a little bit more perky with, because again, like I said, it's a very expensive habit. But when you talk about money, the first thing that I didn't know is how sneakers got released. There are so many possible avenues to get a sneaker that you want. It isn't always obvious what the best way to do so is. I remember when I first discovered the sneakers app and I thought, great, this is an easy way for me to get the shoes that I want. Little did I know that millions of people were also going after the same shoe, it was limited, and that I wasn't really going to be able to rely on it in order to get the shoes. Fast forward a couple years later, I learned about all the different foot sites, Foot Locker, Foot Action, East Bay, all these different areas and stores that I could get shoes at. And now my arsenal is full with avenues to be able to get the shoes that I want. And then of course there's the online retail space and the brick and mortar retail space. Back in the day, you used to sit outside and wait for shoes. Now you don't have to, but there are opportunities there as well. And so all that is looped into the retail buying experience. And there's so much information that you'd need to know in order to even start getting the shoes that you want. And then you get into resale. And this is tricky because I didn't really learn what true resale was until I was probably 6 months in. I found StockX by accident. And I thought, just like everything else, it was a marketplace in order to get shoes. I didn't realize that it was basically like a stock market and that you had to pay a going rate. And I learned that really, really quickly, because one thing I used StockX for was research to find out what shoes were out there. I was like a sponge. I learned so much about all the shoes that were available. What I also learned is that if a shoe had already come out, I was going to have to pay a lot of money for it. That helped me define my financial boundaries in this hobby. It helped me define what I was willing to pay for something, but it was also very disappointing. It wasn't until later that I discovered GOAT, and then eBay got involved, and now I understand. Now I understand that resale is here to stay and that it is a vital part of the culture. But what I really didn't understand until the pandemic was the connection that resale had to retail and to these companies. And a lot of people aren't necessarily hip to that right away. But obviously, the resale market has made it so that people want certain shoes because they're going to demand a higher price. I didn't know that. I was extremely ignorant to that fact. And so for a long time, I was very bitter. I think had I understood and I had an avenue to be able to understand that connection and how all of it worked, I probably would have felt a little bit better. You might say to yourself, well, you should have known. Yeah, maybe I should have, but I didn't. And I think a lot of people are in that space as well. And then imagine if you're a mom of, say, a teenager who wants a shoe and the only way that you can get it is on the resale market. I only wish somebody had been able to tell me more about it and that it was a lot more easily accessible. And the resale market and my bitterness toward it led me down the replica market route. Now, this is a whole different ball of wax that we're not going to get into the morality of here, but it does exist. It is an avenue for people to get shoes. But looped into that is the larger discussion about authenticity as a whole. What truly is authentic? What does it mean for a shoe to be truly authentic? How do people derive that status? And that's also looped into the entire resale market. How does StockX do it? There's been some challenges with that recently. How does GOAT do it? How does eBay do it? And can you actually trust anybody who is selling something on a marketplace that is not vetted by some authentication service or middleman? And that's the thing. There's so many things about authentication and authenticity that are just not apparent right away. A lot of people get had because they don't understand the replica market. They don't understand how good it is now. And they don't understand how to watch out for themselves in this market. That's something that I always took very seriously, even when I was buying them for myself. I always thought if you try to sell them as authentic, you shouldn't be in this culture at all because you are messing with people's money. And so all these different subgenres within the entirety of money, again, it's protecting your own money. And if you're new to the culture, you realize this is expensive, it's time to know a little bit more, and hopefully I can help with that. And then on the other side of that, there is the actual culture that is sneakers. There's a lot less stakes involved when it comes to the culture. It's more about fitting in and understanding how the culture works and how it is different depending on where you are and who you talk to. But within the culture, there's of course the history. Now, the history is very important to people like me, but it doesn't mean that it's important to everybody. If you're younger in the culture, you may not care about Michael Jordan's career because you didn't actually watch him play, and that's totally fair. I think I said that recently, that a lot of young people only watch LeBron. But there's a lot of history to sneakers that is important. It's important to understand why certain shoes come out. It's important to understand why they bring back certain retros. And the only way that you know that is by the history. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to buy every shoe that comes out, but it should mean that you appreciate the place that a certain shoe, a certain silhouette or colorway has in the culture. If you just recently bought the Union One, you should understand the place that Union has as a whole, and that comes down to history. And then, of course, there's things like terms, there's things like slang, and that differs depending on where you live, that differs depending on who you talk to. But let's say, for example, that I use quick strike. Do a lot of people know what that means? If I say full size run, if I say dead stop, these are terms that I didn't know, and people were throwing them around all over the place, and I had to learn. I had to go look them up. And so I think there's an element to that, especially if you're trying to get into the game, you're trying to get into these groups, you have to kind of understand that. And hopefully you're around people who are able to help you navigate that. There's also trends and what I would consider hype beasts. Trends change all the time. The thing that I wish I knew about trends was how they were going to affect what prices people wanted for things. I wish I knew more about the cyclical nature of how people thought about it. That Sambas, say, could be big one day and then not another day. But there are always going to be shoes that really stand the test of time. And that even shoes that stand the test of time are going to have their ups and downs. Right now, the Jordan 4 is going through a period. Next year, it could be something else. And so I think trends and understanding how they happen, understanding how they have influenced things that we see today, again, it comes down to history. And I think knowing the history of both the trends and the shoes themselves, I think that it helps a lot. And that, again, gets down to geography, cities, the communities within these cities. Every city is different. I want to do a series on sneaker cities, and I want to hear from people like you who are listening about what you experience in the city that you live in, because not every city is the same. A lot of people that listen to this show, they live in places where sneakers aren't really big. I can tell you that in Northern Virginia, where I live, if I were to go over the border and go to DC, they'd be a bigger deal. But here, no matter where I go, nobody cares. It's just the nature of where I live. And a lot of people have that. And a lot of people live in areas where it is a big deal. Understanding what those cities mean to the culture, understanding the differences, understanding places where you go that you can get the shoes that you want. Some of them are famous, some of them are not famous. It's just nice to know. But also when you go to these cities, what's the community like? What different levels of community are there when it comes to sneakers? If you're new to a city, can you find a meetup group? Are those people welcoming? There's a lot of elements to community that is embedded in the culture. And there's a lot of elements to community that are really important if you want to navigate this culture. All of this is to say that there is a space for people to help new people in this culture. One thing that I see a lot is gatekeeping. And not everybody is gatekeeping to be malicious. But you do see and hear a lot of statements of you have to do X, Y, or Z to be considered a sneakerhead. I think that's kind of preposterous. I think that the idea of a sneakerhead is hybrid now, that you can live it however you want. There are a lot of people that I know who have been in the culture forever, and bless those people because they're the reason why we're here. The history that they have, they've probably forgotten more about sneakers than I actually know. And there's nothing wrong in admitting that. But I think there needs to be an avenue for people to be more welcomed into the culture. And I think that I might have a way to do that. I said earlier, I'd love to know from you, when you were new in the culture, or if you are new now, what are some things that you wish that you knew? And maybe I can help fill those gaps. I want to remind everybody to follow, like, subscribe, all of that good stuff. It means a lot. I hope this finds everybody well. I hope this finds everybody safe. And hopefully I'll talk to you next week, not sick. This is Fire Footwear. Opinions and viewpoints expressed on Fire Footwear are those of Matt Freights and his guests, and not necessarily those of the Matty Ice Media Network. Fire Footwear is exclusively owned by Matt Freights and is brought to you by the Matty Ice Media Network.